2024 will go down as the year the mainstream media outlets finally lost their grip. As the dust settled after the US election, it became clear that Trump and Vance's appearances on podcasts were instrumental to their success, which really highlighted how independent media, even just random podcasts, are now more powerful than most mainstream media outlets. And after the election, it just seems the media's ratings are down in the gutter.
The New York Post is reporting that its parent company Comcast has confirmed a massive spin-off of its cable networks.
The Los Angeles Times fired the entire editorial board Thursday.
CNN announced mass layoffs earlier this week, and MSNBC viewership precipitously plunged following Trump's victory.
A month after being released, Rogan's podcast with Trump nearly has 52 million views. In comparison, it's estimated that only around 42 million people tuned in to watch the election live across 18 TV networks. This means that it's pretty likely that more people have heard Rogan's podcast than actually watched the election unfold in real time. So let's explore why so many people are changing the channel and abandoning the legacy media for good. In the weeks since their defeat at the polls, both the Democratic Party and mainstream left-wing media establishments have been asking themselves one big question. Why did they lose? For something as big as the 2024 election, there's never going to be just one answer. Now, you could easily point to the late changes in candidates and the whole fiasco with Joe Biden's health problems, as lots of people already have. Or you could talk about their snubbing of Bernie Sanders and their progressive arm of the party. Then there's the fact that Kamala just ran a bad campaign. There's a million reasons. But one key difference in the run-up to the election was what happened with both of the candidates' treatments of podcasts and independent media in general. For whatever reason, Kamala never appeared on Joe Rogan's podcast, or any of the more well-known shows online. Chris McGarian, writing for the Associated Press, described the podcast appearances she did as just being cookie cutter, saying, quote, "The conversations covered a lot of the same ground as previous interviews, such as Harris's plan for making it more affordable to care for the elderly and her love for Venn diagrams for explaining complicated concepts." In other words, they gave the same impression as the carefully managed statements she made in other interviews with the mainstream media outlets. Most interviewers didn't press her on her claims, and when they did, the producers cut it down to limit the damage, just like in a severely edited down 20-minute interview on the show 60 Minutes. Trump and Vance, meanwhile, were much more open to unscripted long-form podcasts covering a wide range of topics. In contrast to Kamala, Trump was happy to sit down for the full 3 hours with Rogan, and J.D. Vance spent 2 hours talking to Theo Von. The Democrat Party's reaction to this discrepancy has been to wonder why they couldn't pull the same thing off. In their view, as it has been since the pandemic, Rogan is a Republican plant set on convincing his massive audience to vote for the right wing. And to be fair, there's probably some hint of truth to this, as he did actually endorse Trump in the end. But that was only on the eve of the election after it became clear he wasn't going to get a Kamala interview. In fact, Rogan had actually endorsed Bernie Sanders in previous elections and primaries.
But who are you going to vote for in the primary?
I think I'll probably vote for Bernie.
Interesting.
Yeah. Because I think Bernie and Tulsi together would be a devastating combination. I really do.
The Democratic Party used to have his endorsement and his vote, but they lost it when they silenced that section of the party. Of course, through the ideological lens, Rogan is just part of a greater manosphere conspiracy to indoctrinate young men and turn them into fascists. For anyone who's seen the podcast, it's kind of a ridiculous take, but it's truly a line they're actually pushing. Just listen to this clip of an MSNBC analysis pushing this exact narrative.
But what they have done in their online media ecosystem is build a radicalization engine, literally the way militant groups do around the world, that takes people from relatively low-level annoyances with the world. Why are eggs so expensive? Why is my kid learning this new thing in American history in school that I didn't learn? And then moves them through YouTube videos, through podcasts, moves them from that annoyance all the way, slowly, 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 to a full-blown fascist politics. It's an elaborate multi-billion dollar infrastructure, and there is nothing like it on the pro-democracy side. We don't have an when a man is just lost and lonely and not yet radicalized, we don't have the equivalent of Joe Rogan.
What's interesting about this take is both the absurdity of it and the jealousy of it. He doesn't skip a beat in categorizing the left as the pro-democracy side, while also implying that Rogan is a key part of a plan to brainwash the next generation. Politics aside, this extreme rhetoric just makes anyone who listens to a podcast like Joe's realize the mainstream media is grasping at straws. But it's this last line that's the most revealing, where he implies that the left-wing establishment needs their own version of this indoctrination pipeline and therefore needs their own Joe Rogan. While it isn't always for these same insane reasons, others across the left have also echoed this sentiment. They've identified that if Kamala had done more long-form and unscripted interviews, she probably would have gotten way more votes. Of course, this isn't the reaction across the board. Where there's jealousy, there's resentment, and you don't have to search far to find that. This video is brought to you by Manscaped.com, the global leader in men's grooming, setting a new standard in men's care. With the holidays approaching, now is the perfect time to treat yourself or a loved one to the ultimate grooming tool, the Chairman Pro. This electric foil shaver delivers a perfect shave every time, making it the ideal gift to elevate your grooming game this season. Now let's talk about the features. The Chairman Pro comes with two interchangeable skin-safe blade heads, the four-blade foil for a close shave and the stubble trimmer for a rugged look, both designed to reduce razor burn and irritation. And thanks to its flex-adjust technology, the pivoting head and blades adapt to the contours of your face and neck for a smooth, precise shave every time. Need extra precision? Well, the precision lock lets you secure the blade head in three positions for maximum control. It's also waterproof, so you can use this in the shower for an easier, cleaner grooming experience. Plus, it's powerful enough to tackle up to 5-day growth, whether you need a daily shave or a quick tidy up. And with up to 75 minutes of runtime on a single charge and a digital screen displaying battery life, you'll always know when to recharge. It also includes a USB-C cable and wireless compatibility. And with its features like the travel lock and the LED spotlights, it makes this the perfect tool for holiday trips or on-the-go grooming. So if you're searching for the ultimate gift this holiday season or want to upgrade your grooming routine, the Chairman Pro is your answer. It has everything you need to keep your face looking and feeling its best. So use my promo code MOON for 20% off of your order, plus free shipping. And what better way to treat yourself or someone special this season? That's 20% off plus free international shipping with promo code MOON at manscaped.com. So join over 11 million worldwide who trust Manscaped and give the gift of grooming this season. ABC's The View was originally created to try and live up to its own name, to give a platform for a wide range of women's perspectives on key issues. Of course, in the decades that the show has been running, that's changed. More recently, like a lot of new shows, it's become completely unapologetic in its clear bias. Just take one of their co-hosts' words about Joe Rogan on a recent episode of the show. In it, she makes the strange accusation that he believes in dragons to discredit him, all while bragging about how stringent their fact-checking is in comparison to online content.
I think that's why people like our show, because they know that we are checked by ABC News.
But we're checked by everybody.
Yeah, I mean, if we're wrong, we have, you know, the legal note here.
Mm-hmm. the human legal
but
note?
But we went from Walter Cronkite, mm-hmm. basically, to this guy, Joe Rogan, who believes in dragons. I checked it. He believes in dragons.
Did you triple force that?
Yes, I did.
Within this accusation, you can identify both the reason they think legacy media is superior and the evidence that it isn't. While maybe a decade ago, nearly everyone trusted mainstream news, those days are now long gone. It's precisely because of how biased they've become, to the point where they've abandoned the principles which made them reliable in the first place. Here we've got a clear example of taking one thing Joe Rogan said out of context and turning it into a personal attack to fit their own arguments. In this case, the accusation was based on earlier podcasts where Joe had discussed the fact that nearly every culture independently came up with the idea of dragons.
Very unusual for the concept of something to exist for a long time with no basis in reality. You know, that's why I'm interested in dragons. Like, why is every civilization, why do they all have dragons?
They mention dragons in the Bible a bunch of times. They don't mention dinosaurs.
Well, I think because people weren't alive when dinosaurs were alive, but I bet they were alive when dragons were alive. I bet dragons were a real thing.
It's such a feeble attack that both Fox News and Joe Rogan himself pounced on the opportunity to make fun of it.
I had to read the thing about The View because I just thought it was funny.
What's the deal?
The reason why I read that about me.
Dragon lover.
Joy Behar was trying to say that I believe in dragons.
Wait, what is this? I just heard about it.
I checked it. I checked it. And the lady goes, did you double check this? She goes, I checked it. He believes in dragons.
She'd be like,
Sasquatch.
But it also highlights just how out of touch the mainstream establishment media has become about why they've lost so many viewers. Only Fox has seen a bump in viewership, although they're the exception here. It's likely based on the functional monopoly of mainstream right-wing coverage in the wake of Trump's victory, although they've also been far more willing to work with and pay attention to independent media as well. It's why the company that owns Fox is now putting people like Piers Morgan on YouTube, as they realize that everyone's turning to social media outlets instead of mainstream old networks. And we can see why. For most other networks, it's been a terrible first month. MSNBC in particular are in a tailspin, losing an astonishing 53% of their viewership compared to October. The other networks aren't far off. CNN saw a 22% drop in ratings overall, and a 43% drop during prime time compared to their election coverage. It clearly isn't the time for them to put their heads in the sand. So let's analyze just what went wrong and why so much of their audience are tuning out and turning to independent media instead. One benefit with the podcast space and independent journalism in general is the amount of time you have. It's a bonus that pretty much everyone can agree on because it makes a clear difference. Firstly, complicated issues can take a long time to unravel. There just isn't space to properly explore a topic in a 2-minute monologue or a 30-second speech. With that little time, it's guaranteed that you're going to have to cut out some important context. But with a longer conversation, you've got plenty of time to give things the consideration they deserve. And it brings us on to another benefit: how much more natural the final product feels. In most TV shows, there's a tight schedule where every second is accounted for. Over the past few decades, we've seen political debates and discussions on network TV melted down into 30-second soundbites to fit this mold. The time pressure is so great that the best pundits are the ones who can offer the most extreme, simple version of their thoughts on an issue. Surface-level engagement is king. Any real depth is just out of the question. And the end result is like reading the titles of 30 different books, compared to actually just reading one good book. These discussions end up promoting bias because there just isn't room to include more than one viewpoint in your average mainstream political show. When you can find the rare show that does try to do it, the debates are rarely meaningful because there isn't time to really explore two opposing views. That isn't to say that independent media can't be biased either. We're never going to escape that. But in a longer format, there isn't much room to hide, and it gives audiences the time to stop and think about what they're hearing. The lack of invasive editing helps as well. Like all of these benefits, it makes the conversation and the ideas clearer. With mainstream media, you get an incredibly restrictive view of an issue with some parts chopped out because they weren't exciting enough. People have had their words completely warped by editing, and audiences get misled all the time. The root of all these benefits is that independent journalists and people who create independent media aren't indebted to outside influences in the same way as the legacy media is. Within the establishment, there's tons of pressures on journalists and pundits that influence what they say. There's the agency they work for with its own idea of what they should be saying. There's often a billionaire owner or a set of shareholders pushing the agency in a certain direction. There's even the culture of the workplace and the content that they're already making, which has its own sway. And it's created a world where you get ahead by following the party line, saying what you're meant to say and never rocking the boat. Meanwhile, for independents, it's more like natural selection. People gain and lose popularity and influence based almost purely on whether other people want to give them their time. Both independents and the legacy media are always searching for ratings or views, and this influences both kinds of content. But with legacy media, there are far more infringing influences, and it really restricts the content they make and the things they say. One of the only things the legacy media has been clinging to is their prestige and their reputations. The argument is that because of the establishment surrounding it, legacy media is more trustworthy. They say they have years of reporting the truth under their belt and strong principles of journalistic integrity. Independent media, on the other hand, is therefore much less responsible and rife with misinformation because they don't have that same oversight or reputation to uphold.
Now, as for Rogan's recent comments, on one level, it's just comical. Hearing this rich and famous guy express worries that even though he's paid to talk for a living, he's going to be silenced in the future.
While this idolized picture might be true for a few organizations, it clearly isn't the case across the board. And it's especially not true for the majority of mainstream networks. They get things wrong all the time, they push misinformation when it suits them, and they warp their narrative to fit their own agenda. Just take the previous example of how they responded to Joe Rogan, using their own made-up misinformation to create an attack against Joe for allegedly spreading misinformation himself. The hypocrisy is insane, and there's plenty of examples. It is true that some characteristics of independent media make them more vulnerable to making mistakes. If you have a 3-hour conversation with someone about anything, it's pretty likely that you are going to make a mistake at some point. Plus, the format itself and the proliferation of independent media means that it's more likely for people to get the truth of the matter. Just think about how historians create a picture of the past. To get the most complete picture of what's going on, they look at a wide range of sources and perspectives from the time. The more they have, the clearer the picture becomes. It doesn't even really make a difference if lots of the sources are biased, as it's the range of perspectives that matters. This is how you gain a clear picture of the world. Today, we're all like historians creating a picture of the present from a massive variety of different sources. Independent journalism and the internet as a whole has given people free access to so many perspectives on the world. It's opened up more options. In fact, the pressure is now on the consumer to take their information from a wide range of sources, rather than sealing themselves into their own echo chamber. What mainstream media is really mourning is their loss of the monopoly on information. Until fairly recently, they had complete control over the information that people could access about the world outside of their own perspective. People are enjoying this freedom and abandoning legacy media in droves. While it can be messy and chaotic, this greater freedom of information is one of the real benefits of our modern world. Independent media has widened people's perspectives, and it terrifies the establishment. The future of media in general is clearly a much more decentralized network of different perspectives. While it might leave some people and institutions behind, it's already creating a better informed world that can only be a good thing.